Welcome, everyone, to the Project Joy radio show. And welcome, Sherry.
Well, hello, Chris.
Hello, hello. Good morning.
Good to be here.
Indeed. We meet again. All right, shall I just launch in to...
Yes, please.
...subject? Let's do.
Let's launch.
All right. If you have always done it that way, it is probably wrong. So much of what we do is unconscious, unexamined reaction to things that happen to us, especially in childhood. Today, recognize your conditioned reactions for what they are and remind yourself that it's time to let them go. Practice doing one thing a different way. Record and listen what you see. Imagine how your life would open up if you did one thing differently each day.
Love that. My teacher used to say, that's just how I am, and that's the way I've always done it, are the two worst excuses in the world.
Mm.
Goes right along with this, doesn't it? Just the way
it
I am.
Really
I've
does.
Always, I've always, yeah, I've always been this way. I've always done it like that. It's like, okay, well then, good, you have plenty of opportunity to see that's not a good idea, so let's do something else.
Yeah,
but it's one of those things that it's one of those things that culturally we accept. You know, it makes sense. I mean, we say that those kinds of things to one another, and nobody goes, well, that's really stupid, isn't it? We just go, oh, yeah, me too. Boy,
Yeah, well, and it's just such a sign that that's what happens internally.
Gets
said to us internally, and we just shake our heads and go, oh, yeah, that's exactly so. That's who I am. That's how I do that.
Yeah.
And,
And it may be followed by, recriminations, or it may be followed by kind of people will listen to conditioning, say, well, I'm just a rebel. Well, conditioning is always a rebel. But if we think that's who we are, then we're going to be identified as adolescents all of our lives.
Mm.
So to, whether the voice in the head is nodding approval or beating us up for being that way, it comes to the same thing. We're believing it and we're perpetuating it. So time to take a look.
All right, let's see what people are seeing.
Yeah.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Chris. This is Greta.
Hi, Greta.
Hi, Greta.
Good morning.
What you seeing?
Well, it was interesting. I didn't get to practice with it all day, but I have practiced with it some this morning. And what I saw was that instead of going with the conditioned story, I looked at what conditioning was ragging on me, nagging at me about. And I looked and I got to see underneath it kind of to the truth of what was going on for me, that there were things indeed that I could make different, but it's in that way of accepting, yes, this is what I did, this is how it often goes, and I am still getting to see the places where I would choose to be more congruent with practice if I was more present to what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So if I'm following you, there's a sense that you go unconscious, you're distracted or whatever it is, and you're taken into unconsciousness, then you're kind of talked into or you have a habit of doing whatever, then you get awakened. Conditioning taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, pay attention, you just whatever it is, which means you're supposed to feel bad about that, right? Is that kind of what you're seeing so far?
Right, right. The feeling bad or that there is something wrong. And
yeah.
that's something that you've been pointing at, not just in, you know, in the sort of global perspective that we're, why we're all having this practice intensive is looking out at the world, having this feeling that something's wrong, or bringing it back here and feeling like I've done something wrong, as opposed mm-hmm. to maybe what the quote is pointing at, which is, well, I've always done it this way, without sort of questioning, or as you say, being unconscious, we end up doing it again. But mm-hmm. this time we have a little more context to actually looking at it from a practice perspective instead of, well, that's just how I am.
Right. So that's where we get to have that opportunity to turn it around, right? So now we get to say, oh, thank you. Uh-huh. Yeah, I see. That's that same process. All right. Yeah, that's the one I'm bringing more conscious awareness to. Right?
Yeah, and
so the very that
right.
Go ahead.
No, I want you to finish what you were going to say.
Oh, well, it's just that process that's so helpful of using what conditioning has done to us as a way to wake up and choose what we want. So we're taught to, so you do whatever that is, that thing. You know, you go unconscious and do that thing. And then conditioning wakes you up and says, you did that thing. And then you're supposed to accept a beating and feel bad. And then it just repeats. So when we turn that whole thing into a, oh, good, thank you. Yes, I did, didn't I? And that's the one I'm working on currently. Thank you. No beating, no feeling bad, no anything. We just bring more energy to our commitment to be present and not fall for it again. Really takes the wind out of conditioning sails.
Right, right. And what I saw was something that you've been pointing at for a long time, I think, which is that I'm doing, in this case, I was in a conversation and we were talking about the current situation and how this person was feeling despair. And I was really wanting to lift them up, you know, to help them put their attention on the life-affirming message as opposed to falling for it's all going to go to, you know, we're all going to lose everything.
We're doomed.
We're doomed, mm-hmm. right. And so it was really from a place of caring, and yet conditioning wanted to turn that into, well, you don't care. Look, you don't do anything. And what life came in to say was, what? Surely you do care because you're on this cushion right now. You mm-hmm. wouldn't be doing all these practice things if you didn't mm-hmm. care deeply. It's just that conditioning mm-hmm. wants what we do to look like something else. And so it took this thing, you know, conditioning took what I did and made it wrong and you know, said, well, you could have done it more skillfully, you could have done this, you did that. But by looking like underneath what conditioning was saying, and not, you know, not looking like in a noodling way, but looking in a practice way,
mm-hmm.
what was mm-hmm. revealed was, you know, that which I am seeking is causing me to seek. That this is the core principle of why we practice. So of course
mm-hmm.
you can.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yes, care enough not to fall into an egocentric, karmically conditioned, self-hating, other-hating place to make the world a better place, which is
yeah.
what so is happening with so many people, right?
Well,
that,
and mm-hmm. it kind of just put the lie to, you know, again and again, when we practice with these things we're given, we were able to turn everything 180 degrees and put the lie to what conditioning is telling us and just really see
mm-hmm.
it. Because to me,
mm-hmm.
this was just really profound. It's like, it's been telling me this lie for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. That you don't care.
Yeah, because look how you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It has many ways it tries to get me to believe that. And mm-hmm. it just really, that I feel like that fell away, which compelled me to call this morning and tell
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and so for any of us with that specific, when we catch a message that conditioning is giving to us, a story that we've recognized as a lie, that's a really good one to translate. So we hear that voice and just go, oh, that's true. I really do care. I really do care. And then stop for a minute and see what life drops in for us in terms of confirmation of that or a next step or, you know, whatever it is. There may be, it may be, so, you know, go sit on that cushion and just practice being in unconditional love for everyone and everything. Or it may be, so you've been wanting to volunteer with that group, so why don't you make that phone call?
Yeah, exactly.
It could
and
be
that,
anything.
And that, it could be anything, yeah. And that's mm-hmm. what what I see now and what life sort of gave me as the next step is, you know, I can take what I, you know, I get kind of all intellectually enthusiastic about these things and I put all these pieces together and I really want to, you know, when I get in conversation, I just feel like, oh, there's so much to share about that. But as you've said before, okay, well, you know, and what I see is, okay, I don't have to prove anything and I can,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can start to move from that place more as an orientation than as intellectual exercise.
Mm-hmm. I love that. We don't have to prove anything. And we certainly don't have to prove anything to that hateful voice in the head, that negativity. We do not have to prove to negativity that we are positive. We don't need to do that.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. thank you for all
good.
These great practice opportunities. I know that the other thing it tries to tell me is I'm not doing a good job at practice, but, you know, every day we have a chance to start again, so it's really helpful.
That's right. That's right. And every day we have a chance to say, oh, right, you tell me that because I am. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I am practicing hard. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
It really takes its weapons away from it. Because if we don't feel bad, if we don't buy into it and feel bad and, then set about proving to it that it's wrong, it really has nowhere to go.
Gosh, that's mm-hmm. so helpful on the global level, too. We don't have to prove anything to anybody about them being wrong. Yeah.
No. Oh, God, no. Why waste a minute of our precious time? Let's just focus on what is true and so for us and be that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Greta.
Deep gratitude. Thank you.
Thanks, Greta. You know, Sherry, it really seems we could turn that quote right on to conditioning, that essentially that dragging the attention to something wrong, not enough, is what it has always done. And
mm-hmm.
like you say, we can just turn to it and say, well, gosh, I think according to this quote, that's probably wrong.
Yeah, right. And besides, it hasn't seemed to work. So I'm going to try this new direction. Yeah. So so for that conditioned voice, you know, we could even say, so I'm going to see you as my staunchest ally. Every time you tell me what's wrong with me, I will know that that is a direction that I am I'm doing well in and want to do even better in. Thank
yep.
you.
Yep.
Very helpful.
Yep. Yeah, and then that really gets us away from any kind of place where we have been doing something consistently according to conditioning. We've been on the take
mm-hmm.
with conditioning, tensions with conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, that is the alternative to that. So that's
mm-hmm.
perfect.
I had this little fantasy when Greta was talking, because there are so many people in Sangha who really do want to participate, not just in practice, but in life, you know, want to be a contribution, want to be a help, want to be a service and that sort of thing. So I just saw Greta organizing this little, you know, you gather up all the despairing people, you know, get them up off the couch, get them out off of Facebook, away from the media, and you have a little meditation group. You know, you decide amongst you what you want to, how you want to participate. We don't have to go very far in any one of our communities to know, to find a place that could use assistance and support. And so we have a little meditation. We get together, we meditate, and then we go volunteer.
Yeah, nice.
Conditioning would so hate that.
It would indeed, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the two things that it's most violently opposed to. One, being present, and two, being of service.
Yeah, it takes the attention right away from it and right on to unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, you know, if when it starts in about how we don't care and we're not, it just really, it becomes laughable because it's so obvious from our lives that, that's just not true. And
yeah,
still we can thank it. That you're right. You're right. I could be paying more attention. And there is more that I could do to be kind and helpful. That's,
yeah.
Thank you for the reminder.
Indeed. Yeah. Very good. All right. Let's see what our next caller is up to.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning and afternoon. Sherry and Chris, this is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. It's one of those. What's the guy's name? Truman. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening.
That's right, exactly. Well, I'm practicing doing, you know, the exercise from yesterday right now, in the sense that I'm doing something that I wouldn't normally do, which is that calling in some ways when conditioning would say I haven't seen a lot because I haven't really done the exercise. So, yeah, it occurred to me last night, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call in tomorrow, and well, I mean, have been calling in every day, but put myself in the queue right away. What I've been watching is, you know, yesterday in particular, and a little bit today, how there's this sort of notion to do something. Maybe it's an intellectual notion, I'm not sure. To do something different, you do something in a new way, and then how I'm talked out of it, or you know, there's a reason why it's important to do it this way. And and how I go for the same way, and there's like this not really being able to think of a new way to do it, which think of it, you know, which seems like pretty much a mental thing. And that definitely I was watching that process as well, you know, of thinking up a new way to go about it.
Rather than what's possible, which is to just let life drop it in.
Right. Right.
It takes some of the strain out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And also what I've noticed is, I think I saw this last night, that the two things that seem to be used to talk me out of doing it in whatever way are the unconscious idea that my survival is at stake, and then the other one is some comfort in some kind of way. So, you know, in terms of the, in quotes, survival thing, the basic story is that I've talked about this in different ways and you know, in lots of different, you know, different calls, that, you know, the idea that I'm usually running behind and there's not enough time. And so the reason I'm doing it this way is because it's the most efficient way to do it. Or something along those lines, or some other reason like that. anyway, so yeah, just watching that. I mean, yeah, please.
May I? That perhaps if you I always encourage people to start small. But if you want to just kind of go for the big guns, then the change, the transformation could be realizing at first intellectually and then paying attention and seeing it on deeper and deeper levels that the survival and comfort is ego's, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
That everything it's talking to you about is making sure it survives and it's comfortable. Because ego gets very, that's why these kinds of little exercises are so powerful, because it puts us right in touch with ego's, no. I mean, it's got us controlled, and it doesn't like us to mess with that, really doesn't like us to mess with that. So when I encourage people to start with something small, we get a chance to see it doesn't matter whether I'm going to use 2% milk in my tea instead of almond milk. Oh, you all say almond or something. It's life and death. And is it really, does that voice care? No, it doesn't care if you drink strychnine in your tea. What it cares about is you don't get to make your own choices. Right?
Yeah.
And so as we begin to see, that's what's revealed in this, right?
Right. It's the conditioning that won't be revealed if I continue to do the same thing. But could be revealed even with a small thing, just making a little change like that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so if you combine those two, you're making small changes and watching what happens, what the conversation in conditioned mind is, which, of course, as we know, is the most difficult part of practice, because we're so habituated to being in the conversation, not watching it. That's the power of this kind of exercise. If we do it from the perspective of, I'm going to do this thing to watch conditioning go crazy. So when it goes crazy, we're involved in another activity together, Jeff, where the whole point of it is this, right? So when I do this thing, I do it to watch conditioning just go ballistic. And the temptation to get pulled into that, and the fear and the all of that. But if we can stay stepped back, it's, you just poke it and then you watch what it does. You poke it and watch what it does. And the fun of that, of course, is that's what it does to us all the time.
Mm-hmm. And it's not real. It's not as if we're doing something horrible to something. To some living creature.
No. It's a brainwashing program. It's maintaining an illusion of separation from life. That's all. There is no real thing called the ego, which we get to, as we dismantle it, we get to see that. You know, when people have that experience of you're going along, and all of a sudden it says something really out of sync. It's just stupid because it says this thing at a time and a place where that's ridiculous, and you begin to realize, whoa, it's a program. It really is a program. It's not current. It's not present. It's not concerned about what's happening now. It's just like a tape loop that's running inside the head. But if we're engaged with it, we don't get a chance to see that it has nothing to do with real life.
Right. Right, exactly. And another thing I'm seeing about this is that, so I've been walking, taking a lunch break walk so I can listen to these calls, and I almost every time I walk in the same neighborhood, because otherwise, the story has been, I probably would have to walk around the track at school, and there'd be a lot of kids, and I might get into, somebody might be doing
teacher
something.
Mode.
Right, exactly. And so it's more relaxing to, you know, to, and also the sound, in case I get, you know, on the, you know, in case I'm getting on the call, then that way we don't have a lot of extra noise. So I went the same way today. but what I'm seeing is that, you know, but the truth is, all of that really isn't that big a deal. You know, even just to do the, you know, it differently than it says I have to do it every time, just for the sake of doing, to show that I can do it differently. And to see, as you've been talking about, and to see, well, really, did the world fall apart if I, you know, one day I did this a different way, and then another day I did it a little bit differently yet? Did really everything collapse? Do I have to do it every time the way my mind says I have to do it?
Yeah. And Jeff, you know, when you're saying that, I don't know if it's obvious to you, but it's obvious to me and maybe anybody else who's listening, is the fun that comes with that. It sounds silly because you're talking about the difference between walking in this neighborhood in this direction or another neighborhood in that direction, you know, and conditioning would say, oh, please, please. The thing about it is it starts to be fun to do things that system says we can't do, and to do them in a way that it says we can't do it. And that fun, that we feel that happiness, that, you know, there's that little bit of joy because you're realizing, you know, I don't need to be a victim to this. I can be free. I can make my own choices. And I mean, eventually, you know, we get to the point of, it doesn't matter if I'm sitting out behind the school on a garbage can. I am making my own choice, and I am having fun. I am enjoying life because I know it's my life, and I'm living it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's adventure mode.
Yes.
Mode, in quotes. It's getting into adventure rather than...
Yes.
Say, you know, in quotes, and really the experience of same old, you know, conditioning, taking life and turning it into same old.
Right. But, and so it's the most wonderful way. I wish the people who are identified with ego and listening to ego say, I'm a rebel, which means it does exactly the same thing in exactly the same obnoxious way all the time. I wish they could see that the true rebel is the one who doesn't go along with conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rebellion that we can stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's
because
fun.
Otherwise, yeah. It's the first rebellion is still part of the program. It's just
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Great. Well, thank
All right.
you very much.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, you're welcome, and thank you so much, Sherry, and thank you, Chris.
Take care. Well, that's so great, Jerry or Sherry, and it sounds like it's a nice segue back to Project Joy, that little formula of having lunch on the trash cans out in the back, no matter what the circumstances are, doing things differently, avoiding the, I don't want to say avoiding, but efficiency and convenience are often places behind which conditioning hides, too.
Yeah. And so really what we're prioritizing is joy. First of all, what you're pointing at is really important, because those are usually lies. It's not more efficient, and it's not, you know, there's no reason to do it. It's just that that's what ego is telling us to do, and we believe it.
Yeah.
So oftentimes people will... Often people
pay attention to conditioning. Sorry, go ahead.
Right, exactly. And when we break out of that, we realize actually being present is the most efficient, effective way that we can live. And the main thing about it is, it's fun. It's fun not to be an automaton. It's joyful to be present in one's own life.
Yeah. I can feel it as you're saying it.
Me too. That's why I love doing this so much. You?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it's the room to go.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, well, good. It appears we are very close to the end of our time. So How about tomorrow's assignment? Let's see.
All right.
So for tomorrow, it is not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent, but the one most responsive to change. Charles Darwin. Mm. Today, change one small habit and watch what happens. Record and listen as you change the habit, and again, right after you make the change. What did you notice?
Mm. So powerful. And powerful to have a quote like that from somebody like Charles Darwin, who did spend a fair amount of time looking at what is actually survival.
Yeah, yeah, rather than how
conditioning's version of survival.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
So all those critters that Charles Darwin watched, if they had operated like human beings, they'd be extinct, right? Because
yeah,
human beings
point.
Will listen to
good
that,
point.
Do it the same way, do it the same way. Even though everything around us is changing, you've got to do it the same way, you've got to do it the same way. That is not actually a good plan for our survival.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Being unconscious and not having access to what actually is seems a very dangerous plan.
Yes, precisely. Well stated. That's it exactly. Yeah. It's very dangerous. Yeah.
And it's not actually our plan either. It's conditioning's plan. So.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. We're not even often we're not even privy to it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really dangerous. That's so good. I hope people really take that in. To get, you know, we're told this is the way to be safe. Do what conditioning says. If we could really get how dangerous that is,
yeah.
We'd be much more ready and eager to make a
yep.
different choice.
Yeah. We'd be doing things
good.
Differently in every moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like going into battle with a general whose mission it is to kill you.
Okay.
You know, that's kind of what that's how most people live their lives. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty quick image.
That's, that's motivating. I'm going to change something today. How about you?
There you go. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so
right.
much, Chris.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank
Talk
you
to you tomorrow.
Sure. All right.
Thank
See
you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.